In Washington, D.C. in 1987, American President Ronald Reagan and Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev signed a treaty that banned intermediate-range nuclear weapons. Now, President Trump announced America will back out of the treaty, which had been crucial in defusing Cold War tensions.
Russia has violated the agreement. They've been violating it for many years, and I don't know why President Obama didn't negotiate or pull out. And we're not going to let them violate a nuclear agreement and go out and do weapons, and we're not allowed to.
Kara Wagner asked Dr. Adam Lockyer, Senior Lecturer in Security Studies at Macquarie University, why Mr. Trump wants to exit the treaty.
Nobody exactly knows why Trump wants to leave the treaty, but there's a few different theories. The first is that the Russians have been violating the treaty now for about 4 years. This started under President Obama. When the Russians began work on a new missile that would potentially break the treaty. Trump's, rather than trying to negotiate with Russia and try to stop the development of this missile, has decided to withdraw from the treaty altogether. Barack Obama tried to negotiate with the Russians to try and get them to stop the development of this type of missile, but that has failed, and the Russians have continued the development of this missile. Now, technically, the development of a new missile isn't a violation of the treaty. It only becomes a violation of the treaty if it's deployed operationally. So up until this point, the Russians still haven't deployed this missile, and as such, they haven't officially broken the treaty, although it looks as though they are on the path to doing so.
In 2007, Russia threatened to abandon the treaty, citing the NATO missile shield in Romania as an American violation of the agreement. President Trump has also expressed concern over China's freedom to develop nuclear weapons.
We're the ones that have stayed in the agreement, and we've honored the agreement, but Russia has not, unfortunately, honored the agreement. So we're going to terminate the agreement. We're going to pull out. Unless Russia comes to us and China comes to us and they all come to us and they say, let's really get smart and let's none of us develop those weapons.
Dr. Lockyer again.
This treaty is a really important pillar of capping the type and number of weapons deployed by the great powers. If you get to a point where most of the actors have intercontinental ballistic missiles, these are the really big ones that are slow, that are going to wipe out whole cities. These weapons are designed mostly as a second strike, or what they call a counter-value weapon. So if the Russians fire first, the Americans fire their big city killers. If the Americans fire first and the Russians fire their big city killers. This is the foundation of MAD, mutually assured destruction. And this can potentially be a force for stability. Neither side will want to fire first because you can be guaranteed that the other side is going to fire and destroy your country as well. Now, what these fast, accurate, short-range missiles will do is pull the rug out from under that, because if you can take out your opponent's entire second strike capability, it means that you might theoretically be able to win a war.
And it won't only affect the US and Russia. I spoke to Dr. Alexei Muraviev, Associate Professor of National Security and Strategic Studies at Curtin University.
I think the Europeans would feel incredibly nervous about such outcome, because in this sense, for the Europeans, it would recreate the situation of the early to mid-1980s, when the whole of Europe was within range of Soviet strike missile systems, and the Europeans feel very vulnerable about this.
But Russia and the US are no longer the only countries capable of producing nuclear arms. Dr. Muraviev again.
Well, I think it certainly should embrace more countries that deploy similar capabilities in their inventory of weapons. It cannot be between the two nuclear superpowers. The world has changed. The world has moved on. It will be obviously far more challenging trying to get more members of the international community, China, India, Pakistan, North Korea, Iran, Israel, to become part of these negotiations and potentially signatories of the new treaty. But without them, any possibility of negotiations between Russia and the United States may prove to be short-lived, because both the United States as well as Russia are likely to nominate counter-narratives against signing new treaties and signing new limitations, including by finger-pointing at other countries. So I think in the current situation, unless there is going to be some sort of a trade-off with regards to another major political development, the new treaty needs to become comprehensive in nature as a starting point. And certainly it needs to negotiate fairly clear and mutually accepted parameters.
Dr. Alexei Muraviev, Associate Professor of National Security and Strategic Studies at Curtin University, ending that report by Caro Wagner.